grandmother. Welcome, this is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lowell, and this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideologies than you've been taught to think and to believe about yourself, your world, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about elder financial abuse. And I just want to go into a little detail or background for you so you understand why this is such an important process right now. You see, two-thirds of the United States population and the population of North America is becoming retired and classed as elderly. And in that retirement process, through the financial issues that we've had in the past for a few decades, going back and forth to mild recessions or greater recessions, we've had a few businesses come across that are supposedly to benefit our loved ones, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, financially through these so-called crises. Now, what ends up happening is you have to understand, if we really look at corporate structure, many of them are for the benevolence or the benefit of the people, but we have to be realistic. We have to understand it's a profit-driven market. So anything that comes across to the public, you have to be very extremely discerning, especially when it comes to the term of reverse mortgage. Now, this is important, and you see how strongly I stress that, because unfortunately I've had to deal with an issue with my mother passing and dealing with her choice of a reverse mortgage. Now, I recall my mother's husband had died in 1994, and she was on her own with her own, you know, the Social Security, and that was fine. And her house was paid for. She'd been pleased as punch to pay her mortgage off. And lo and behold, her husband had died a couple of years by then, I believe. And sure enough, she was approached, actually, by a company. I won't give the company's name at the moment, but we may later. What ends up happening is, because they change their names often, she was approached and given all the platitudes of how good this would be for her. She could pay off all her credit cards, not have to worry about her monthly payments, and have a little bit or two enjoy herself and what she wanted to do. Well, she thought, credit cards pay off. She only had a couple. And what ends up happening is, it was kind of interesting. She just borrowed a small amount of money. I believe the amount she borrowed at first was about $10,000. Just to pay off those little credit cards. And I thought, oh, that's fine. If we do all the work, don't worry. We'll take care of all the paperwork. We'll make sure. And at that time, they had done the protocols on what her house value was worth and all the equity that they could give her, the $10,000, but they had their fees. And she said, of course, don't worry about the fees. They told her they would be taken out on the back end. Oh, so she thought, this is a good thing. I'll pay off those little credit cards. Wouldn't have that 24% on credit card bills and all that kind of debt, monthly worrying. So she did so, and she's brilliant. My mother wasn't, like I said, innocent to what goes out there in the world. She'd done, had her own businesses before. So that was fine, and she paid off her bills and felt very comfortable. And then a couple of years later, house prices inflated, hers as well, and she lived in Arizona, Phoenix area. And sure enough, another platitude on the phone or knock on the door or however they got to her. And they said, you know, your house is worth this much. In fact, you could borrow more and not worry about the first one. And so she said, you know, I do need another car and I don't like those monthly payments. So let me go ahead and just pay cash for a car. So I'll borrow $25,000 this time. I'll pay cash for the car. And then I'll have some extra money to, you know, travel a little or to spend or put as a cushion. So approximately $35,000 total. And so she loved that she didn't have to pay the monthly payments. And this was somewhere in the early 2000s, I believe, just before, actually, probably around 2006 or so, same company that she'd done the first reverse mortgage with. But as we all know, 2008, we had the financial meltdown after the housing bubble had gone up. So her house that was listed at a value of $220,000 at the time they presented her with this brilliant opportunity to borrow again was now worth less than $40,000. So it had been what they call underwater, and it didn't really recover. So my mother passed away in 2015. Now, I was aware of the reverse mortgage, and I had been proactive. Since her father had died, I made sure she had set aside all the plans that she wanted, her pieces of paperwork, and everything in a separate folder she would give me copies. So at the moment I got a call, that I would be able to take that vital file and be ready to finish exactly the protocol she required from her. I asked her to do a written will, living will. She did all those things, notarized and everything, gave me copies. I even asked her to write individual letters that were sealed to siblings so I could make sure that everybody knew what her choices and protocol were. I personally believe a person has lived a vital life, they need to have their choices for their living will handled totally. Well, that was all fine, and I did to the letter what my mom asked. However, I had no idea once I flew from the area I was living down to clear her home and house what I was in for. The unfortunate thing, or the unfortunate quality, was when I got there, I had all the records of the reverse mortgage, and it was the gentleman she passed in her home, which is not uncommon. And I had called and called and called, it wasn't found. And in the heat of Arizona, there was a problem with her not being located for some time. And this is reality we're going to discuss, because the smell of decomposition was enhanced or exacerbated by the hot weather in Phoenix. She loved heat. She never turned on the air. So everything permeated through all the entire belongings and the walls, floors, ceilings of the home with that scent that happens naturally in some of these instances. And again, we have to face real life. Remember, all of us have parents or grandparents that literally will be passing on. This is part of the quality of life, birth, and death of a loved one. Now, all that was fine for me as I got in, to handle this with the paperwork. One of the gentlemen to help offered to, maybe the insurance company has information. And usually they have it there, and I had our insurance files, called the contact, the insurance company within a week. They were there, approved the problem with all the damage that had to be redone. And I knew on the reverse mortgage that it stated that the family had a year left. Please, I hope we're not disturbed by the notification sounds. We all have them on our computers these days. But it's important to remember that all these things were in order. I had a huge file of all her paperwork ready. So the interesting thing was the company came out, the insurance company was gracious, and he warned me. He said, you do know that these reverse mortgage companies, they change their names every couple of weeks. He said, so I have to make the check not only to you as her executor, I have to make the check to the reverse mortgage company as well. They have to sign off and before the repairs. Now, the reverse mortgage states that the family has a year. They can stay in it, whatever they want to do, before it's sold or taken back by the reverse mortgage company or returned to. And I thought my mom was clear before she had passed on that she thought, even with the accrued interest, that she probably only owed $50,000 on the $25,000 or $35,000 that she had borrowed. And I thought, okay, that's fine. That leaves some. I knew the house value. There left some, and she had specifically stated in her will how she wanted the remainder to be divided between her children. And all that was all clear. However, I kept calling the reverse mortgage company, which was very hard to reach. It was a different time zone, so I'd have to get up at 5 in the morning to call them and contact them by 6, or earlier, 5 actually, to get to talk to them the first thing in the morning, their time. And I asked, well, what's the balance owing? What's the balance owing? They kept putting me off. They did this for several weeks, never giving me an answer. I said, I need the balance owing. I need the balance owing. Meanwhile, I put the house property for sale, as she had said, list the house for sale. Did all that. Had a buyer come through the first week, had put down a nice down payment, put it into escrow. Still couldn't get a call from the reverse mortgage company. I thought it was strange. I thought, this is strange. This is a business. How come we don't know? Meanwhile, I'm trying to prepare home, house, funeral, all these stresses that go on naturally, her home, house, funeral. And I'm in another state that I don't even live in. So I have to have accommodations, the whole shop. Now, I finally realize that they give me the check and I sign off the check and send it to the reverse mortgage company as I'm told. They call me back and I had told it, they told me to send it to express to them. I paid for the express costs. They call me back and said, I'm sorry, well, you have to sign off. So we're sending it back to you. We've already sent it. You have to sign your name first. Then we sign. I thought, what? That sounds strange. I felt uncomfortable. They said, sorry, this is our protocol. So sure enough, unfortunately, I did so. Lo and behold, they kept that check. That was to repair all the extreme damage that was left in the property. The insurance company could do nothing about it. They said, there's something, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Once the check is written, there's nothing we could do. These companies change and have their own protocols. We're very sorry. I then contacted and finally got the cost of the house that was owed back to them. Instead of the $50,000, which is an extreme interest rate in itself on the original $25,000, they stated my mother owed $180,000 back to them, which was now much more than the house was worth. It was now only worth $110,000 on the current market. So you can either pay that off, $180,000 back to the reverse mortgage company as the, the people that are left behind, families that are left behind, or you give it back to them because you certainly can't sell it for them. That's all they would tell me. But to get to the information for the value, I had to carve through a protocol of calling them every day, finally getting an email that had a link that I had to go to another link to carve out to another link with a special code number to even arrive at the amount that they were due. All this was to dissuade the family. All this is to make it harder. And this was now several weeks after. Lo and behold, with 180, I had to quit the escrow on the person that wanted to buy the property already, as is, after it was repaired. Okay. But it's important to understand that they kept doing manipulations and manipulations and manipulations. I stayed several months, 4 months to be exact, only I thought would be a 1 month process. In that time frame, I lost my personal business. I lost my place of living. I lost everything to make sure that I maintained what her wishes were and made them stick to their original protocols, which I knew something was wrong. I asked to literally be guided to where that would be. And lo and behold, happened to go to the computer and all of a sudden was guided after had searching on all kinds of reverse mortgage areas with no avail, to no avail, the name of someone very special, an advocate for the elderly regarding reverse mortgages by the name of Sandy Joly. So it is my pleasure today to give you the introduction to Sandy Joly. How are you? And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Antonia. It's really good to see you and to finally meet you in person.
Yes. Sandy, those days were kind of dark at that time, because I'd never seen a company so callous or so cold than the time of a loved one's passing. When I spoke to you, you were beautifully calm. Actually, I wrote you, I found you on Facebook, wrote you a message and figured that's gonna take weeks. And you kindly responded to me very quickly. And I thank you for that. But you were the saving grace in this entire matter. And hopefully with people listening to how we did this or how you do this, they will understand they too don't have to go through the duress that I was put through.
I hope so. would you like me to explain what the problem was and how
Please.
You got to the place you got to?
That would be fine. Thank you.
So first of all, people hear those commercials on television with all the benefits. What they don't hear and what they don't know is the one thing that they absolutely must know before they get a reverse mortgage. And that very simply is this right for me and my circumstances? So 99% of the people who get a reverse mortgage have no idea if it's going to benefit or harm them when they get it. And so how should they determine that?
Yes.
So I'll divide this into a couple of sections here. So the first thing they need to do is, first of all, the younger you are, the less viable an option this really is for you, because the amount of equity you can access is based on your age, the interest rate, and the current market value of your property. Those three form an algorithm. So you don't get the full amount of equity in your property, you get a portion. And if you're very young, you get a very small portion. And if you're also very young, you may be living another 30 years.
That's right.
And so that money has to be planned into a budget to provide financial stability for you for that amount of time. So what people need to do is do a long-term budget, and with their income, their assets, their expenses, and the reverse mortgage funds that they'll be able to get, and see, does this provide me financial security? And in most cases, even if a reverse mortgage is right for them, they understand the consequences and they have determined that, look, these are acceptable to us. But without knowing that, I can practically guarantee there is going to be a problem down the road. And the other thing about a reverse mortgage that is completely forgotten in this, not in the commercials where they say your heirs can purchase the property, they can pay off the loan.
Yes.
They can get it back to the bank. The borrower's wishes are a major part of why they get a reverse mortgage. And in your case, you tried to carry out those wishes to your own financial and emotional detriment.
Yes. But
you wanted your mom's wishes to be heard.
Yes.
To be lived.
Correct.
And the reverse mortgage industry just loves to say that the reverse mortgage is for the borrower, not for anybody else. But the borrower's wishes are for everybody else, and that's their legacy.
Correct.
So how can the borrower's wishes be carried out when they pass away, once a reverse mortgage is obtained? What you don't know, and what fortunately you had set up, was you had the will and already were appointed executor and knew exactly where everything can go.
Yes.
But most people don't realize that they must have a trust. A trust provides legal authority to represent the estate automatically. So they, even though the trust may be in the borrower's name, the successor trustee named is the one who will have legal authority to carry out your last wishes. That's crucial.
Yes.
In most cases, the lenders will not even talk to you if you don't have legal authority or the right to act on behalf of the borrower.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem with this is once the borrower has passed and they learn that they need legal authority, it's almost impossible to obtain, both time-wise and costly. Costs
Correct.
A lot of money to probate. In California, you can pay 10% of the property value to probate, and nobody who has a reverse mortgage or whose relatives have a reverse mortgage can afford that.
Ah, that's right. Especially with the cost of the funeral expenses and all other things that come after. My mother had even covered her expenses or paid for it beforehand, but all right. The that come after, the family is not able to many times to absorb.
Absolutely. So that planning is a part of your long-term planning before you get a reverse mortgage. You really have to carry it out until the person leaves this plane and what is left and how they want their estate handled. So
you
just add a sort of...
That's okay. Sandy, you said my mother had even had two wills. She had one that was typed up by an attorney waiting for my signature. That was a previous will, and then a later will that was done in longhand on legal paper that was notarized. And you said it was a living will instead of a living trust. And that big difference made the biggest difference in part of the headaches.
Absolutely. A will is a problem because of probate needed, because there is no ability to verify with the person who's created the will. But a trust is an absolute right to have legal authority and carry out the wishes. So in addition to a trust, the other things that can be done are to get the heir's name, or if there's a spouse who's not a borrower, to put their name on title to the property. That also will give a legal right. Those are the only two things that give a legal right. But the trust, in my opinion, is the must have. You must have it. And there are many places you can get a trust that are relatively inexpensive. You don't need to spend $5,000 on an estate attorney to do a simple trust. And if people go to my website, there's a link for creating a trust that you can do yourself online that will protect you in the case of a reverse mortgage.
Please give the name of your website.
My website name is, excuse the name, I did it when I was really mad, Elder Financial Terrorism, and I'll spell it, ElderFinancialTerrorism.com.
Yes.
And there are pages on there for every, absolutely every step of the reverse mortgage, from getting a reverse mortgage, having one, having it serviced, having the borrower pass away, and foreclosure. And it's really a self-help website. And I created that because I can't help everybody.
Yes.
And I want them to be able to help themselves if they can. And a lot of people have benefited from that.
It was interesting because people don't realize it didn't for me, and I'm sure for many other cases you've handled. What ends up happening was I couldn't believe even in the, she had asked that her things be sorted a certain way and then the rest sold or given to charity. And I couldn't believe the stalking from the reverse mortgage that was from another state out in the East. Let alone here I am in Arizona. They would have, what did you call them, the names they come in? They come
by. Drive-by appraisal.
Drive-by appraisal. So you said their purpose is?
The purpose of the drive-by appraisal, the company's state, it's to protect the property and make sure it's not vandalized or vacant. But when somebody is living there and taking care of the property, it's just a way to profit. So normally drive-by appraisals were to happen once a month when the property was in pre-foreclosure or foreclosure. Mm-hmm. That's a way of tacking on more foreclosure-related fees. So, but in many cases, I can't even say how many, but a lot of cases, not only do they do one drive-by appraisal, but they would do two, three, or four drive-by appraisals and be charged for those.
And they hammer hard, not hard, on the door if you're inside, but it's hard. And that was interesting because it's to intimidate or to frighten or scare. Yes, they'd say to see if anybody's home, but that's not the case. They could see a car in the driveway, so they know there's probably someone there. The odd one was when we held a yard sale, and one came in because we had seen him a couple of days before drive past. Then he came in, and I said, you can look, everything is out here outside or in these two rooms, not the other rooms. He went and knocked on the final back room where I was with another person at the time and opened the door. It was one of the bedrooms. He says, so I said, I told you, this is off limits, even though I'd had that set. And then I mentioned it, and you had mentioned, because he gets paid more if he goes in. So
that, yes, that's true. And they do not have a legal right to enter the property.
Ah.
So that was absolutely intimidation. Yes. That's why it's called a drive-by appraisal. They're to remain outside the property that cost $20, generally speaking, across the board, and they are not permitted to enter the property. So people are intimidated into granting them access to the property, and once you've granted them access, that's what happens.
That's more intimidation. And this was all within weeks of one another. These at least four, it probably was more, but four of their drive-by, so to speak, banging on the door and then coming in. That was ridiculous. So on top of that, meanwhile, I still kept talking every morning at 5 a.m. to the reverse mortgage company to find out what was necessary, what was the protocol, and kept getting either pushed aside, not listened to, not answered, no responses back. This went on until finally when I was guided to you. And you gave me a beautiful way at the time. I have to thank your information at the time and the gentleman who's no longer in that position due to the changes in our governments since the last election. And I can't believe when I first got to this gentleman, he, at the right time, at the right moment, in the right way, he said, well, they did do their assessment, did they? I said, no, they did not. They did do this, didn't they? I said, no, they did not. He said, in the name of that is, he even knew my address, the company, the whole shot. He says, I'm going to give them a call. The minute he said that, the next couple hours, I got a call from the owner of the reverse mortgage company while he was on the golf course from another state. We'll do anything for you. We'll send that check right back in parts. They only send it in parts. We'll make sure. He was falling all over himself. And I thought, oh, because you know you're now in trouble. But Sandy, it was only after you giving me or shown me the right way to handle it and what to do to get out of the big mess that they didn't care. They had taken the check. They didn't care whether it was fixed or not. They didn't care whether it was sold on the market or not. They wanted the property because they profit greatly by having the property itself and not just the repayment for it. So, oh my goodness, it was intense. It, you know, the heat in Arizona, everybody knows that there were several days, 118, and I'm not quite used to that. 100 on average days, you know, but it was intense because you have to finalize all the results. And the parents, you know, they come, many of them come from the mentality of the depression, so they're kind of pack rats. Well, this wasn't a kind of pack rat, it was an extreme pack rat situation. So I found, you know, envelopes all the way back to the 30s that were from utility companies that were fresh and clean because they save them. They're all neat and piled, tons, you know, piled everywhere in every crevice and every corner. She basically had a path she could walk through the home. And so ultimately, when it was completed to her standard to bring it to a beautiful home like she had before her husband had passed for another family, after working through all this 4 months, Sandy, I was able to, with your help, to make sure that original buyer got the property he didn't want any other, and that his family could take the keys and see a beautifully pristine property, new carpet, new, how can I say, paint. It looked like a beautiful home for another family. And that's what her wish was. So ultimately, without your help, that would not have happened. They would have taken they would have kept the insurance monies. They would have kept, and I would have had no way to sell the property. It would have been abandoned. They could have easily take their right to ownership. And so I had started to study through several cases online and try to research a little more. And I found that many other families, not just this one, were going through that. My mother passed, I believe, at 86 years old. But the whole point is we all have this as part of life. And I addressed it because they are made to feel so comfortable, our loved ones, about signing their names on this reverse mortgage and having that money that they feel they've earned in their own property. But they don't realize the unscrupulous companies by the hundreds. It was interesting, Sandy, because the real appraiser finally came through to appraise the value of the property, finally, after I think it was 2-3 months. And he said, I work in an office. We have some 30 to 40 appraisers. He said, we put in just for reverse mortgages and at least this many every week, let alone every month, of reverse mortgages, the houses go back to the reverse mortgage. I couldn't believe, because the area of Phoenix is a high retirement community. So it's a normal quality and processed homes are stolen, basically, instead of the legacy that they think they're leaving for their loved ones is usurped and stolen by the unscrupulous, profit-driven reverse mortgage companies. So, like you said, the ads are misleading. They're all beautiful.
Absolutely. I'm very disappointed in those ads. They just do not give the picture. So that brings up two critical points for me.
Please.
One is when I say 99% don't know if it's going to benefit or harden them. And the reason they don't know that is because they don't know the critical terms that affect them. All they know, and all the reverse mortgage person can tell them, and all the HUD certified counselor can tell them, is how a reverse mortgage works. They cannot say, wow, this is really a bad idea for you, or wow, this is really a good idea for you because it's going to secure your retirement in this way. It is illegal for them to give any financial or legal advice. And that's absolutely essential to this program. So once somebody, they've gotten a reverse mortgage,
yes,
and now they're being serviced. And servicing every time, almost every time, happens by a completely different company than the nice person who sold it to you with all these promises.
Very
servicing
good.
Servicing rights are sold to a servicing company. So now it's taken it from you being a person who lives at a property, a legacy property, to now it's a loan number and a property address and a profit base. And that's what you are to them. So what you as the consumer no longer know is now you're playing by a different set of rules.
Yes.
Federal regulations they have a different set of regulations than you do as the consumer. And so the consumer doesn't exercise because they're not being told that. As you said in the beginning, you get a letter from them and they say condolences for your loss. The next five pages say you owe this money, and if you don't pay it within 30 days, we're going to foreclose. So how is that helpful to somebody trying to pay off a loan or keep the family property, a legacy property in the family, which is what a lot of people want to do? So even if you have a reverse mortgage, right now you need to find out what the critical terms are that impact you and your financial situation, and whether it's good to continue having this reverse mortgage, or what the consequences are and are they acceptable to you. But you need to know that.
My problem is that they're still not aware of the malicious issues that are being met by many of those companies. When the insurance guy warned, he said, you know, they changed those companies change their names every couple of weeks because they're going against the laws. And so my problem is that people think that, oh, well, mine is good. Oh, no, I have a good one. And I remember you mentioned a list of the worst companies, but of course they changed their names. And I remember one couple friends of my mom, they said, oh, we have so-and-so one company, and they're brilliant. We got a good one. We checked for somebody, and they're a good one. And I said, I'm sorry, but my advisor says, my advocate says, they are one of the worst. So I'm letting you know now, perhaps you should rethink, do we live in trust, whatever was necessary. And I wanted to let them know so they wouldn't have the same hassle because they were also elderly. And so it was a shame that what I found was most of the reverse mortgage companies, perhaps not all, maybe 1%, I would suggest a very low percentage is not malicious. Like you said, when you're a number and a loan number and a profit-driven market. And I remember even talking over the four-month period, I asked the people that I was, the department or supervisors that I would be dealing with, I said, do you have no humanity? Do you have no heart? Are you doing this job just for a paycheck? And I would question what their motive was. Two, no longer work at the company. They ended working at the company because I would always say, pardon me, don't take this personally. And I know you're doing your job. Do you have a heart? Do you have humanity? Under the same circumstances, would you want this to happen to your mother, your father, your family? And I would always make them focus that way. But I was shocked by the end of that term, one supervisor completely gone out of the company and another one gone that I had been dealing with for that particular division. And I thought, thank you. They went on to a better source of work. Since they're every day ripping off, like the true appraiser said, all these homes. And that's just one little area of Phoenix, let alone the entire North American continent. So they spread up to Canada. And we had people in their 40s and 50s wanting to get an equity loan. A reverse mortgage. And I'm trying to warn, saying, no, you don't.
Yeah.
So the shiny people they get to represent them on the commercials, the Olympic, winners, and respected actors, it's a job for them. So they have to understand it's just to promote. It's not the reality of the situation once you're in.
That's right. It's not. Even though there have been some changes to the program,
yes,
over the last few years, it's interesting to me that these changes are promoted as protections for the consumer, because they're not. Even the federal government has stated that the changes are taking place to protect the mortgage insurance fund, the FHA insurance fund. And which is another issue, well, certainly an issue for the government. It's $15.5 billion in the red because of foreclosures and bad business practices. But the mortgage insurance premium that a borrower is going to pay, they pay a hefty premium up front.
Yes.
Rolled into the loan, and then they pay a monthly premium. And that doesn't protect them in any way, shape, or form. It only protects the lender and ensures that they get 100% of their investment. And that's why they want to go to foreclosure, because they add on foreclosure-related fees and they submit an FHA insurance claim. Say they sold your mom's house for $100,000 at foreclosure and she owed $200,000 on it. They would submit a claim for the difference, $100,000.
Let's say they said she owes, based on their fees, $200,000.
Right.
But she only borrowed $25,000, yes.
Uh-huh. Right. So they would collect that extra $100,000 plus all sorts of fees and costs associated with foreclosure, third-party fees. It could be thousands and thousands of dollars more. So that is the way that they profit more, and it's easier. And I'm not saying they're all, this comes from the executives in a company, the top executives, these kinds of policies.
Correct.
It's not the customer service person.
Correct.
Who's incorrect training or no training.
Correct.
And it's not, managing vice presidents or things like that. This is the top echelon people. These people have a choice. And the choice they have is to run their company for the benefit of the people this program was sold to, the consumer and their families, or for their profit. And the worst of the worst have done it for their profit and have profited. In October, I hope you'll call me back, because okay. I can make an announcement then that will show exactly what happens with a reverse mortgage from beginning to end, not just with the borrower, but who's getting the money.
There you go. Because it was interesting, because if you borrow $25,000 anywhere else, you would never have fees to pay off of $180,000, $200,000. And so that's what people have to realize. Again, the shiny dance and the commercial and the sales pitch, they must look behind. It's a wolf with sheep's clothing on for me. And so at that time, yeah, they're They're in their later years. They've lived a hard life or a lot of life at this point, either way. But if they have a beautiful home that they want for their legacy or to pass on or to pass on to another family even, and for their family members to benefit, this is not the way to go. And so I love the idea that you put in for the living trust and get more information, not just from the company itself, but from perhaps your website again, please, for them.
Your website. I have another website too.
All right.
And they can get to this. So I'll give the second one now. It's Karma, CAARMA.org. That's my nonprofit.
Love that one.
Karma stands for Consumer Advocates Against Reverse Mortgage Abuse. Perfect. And mission of that site is to change the program so it's safe for consumers. So, and we're having some success. So if they go to karma.org and go to the homepage and click on Elder Financial, that will take them to the self-help website as well.
Perfect. And that was, again, CAARMA.org. So they
have right.
Two A's. Okay. Interesting. I love the fact that you took it upon yourself, Sandy, to offer as benefit and service of humankind your knowledge that you'd glean for their benefit. It's not, it would be different if it was only for yourself. You would benefit from it. No. What we're trying to do with the broadcast today is to allow others to rethink or recheck, especially with their parents, if the parents have done this, to help them through this process. Because I can tell you, there's no time to grieve, even if you were, because of all the bureaucracy that I ended up having to deal with, the courts, the attorneys, the all kinds of things that I had no clue. When I thought I would just clear and sell. And I had been a realtor in California long ago, and I had assumed this would be a piece of easy cake, especially for the buyer walking up through the door. So it was an amazing thing to see how much it was stalled. Nothing could be completed for 3.5 months until they finally were bullied by the head of government to the CEO of the company to give back that check that they'd stolen from the insurance. That the insurance company has had paid out. So all this, I want people to understand, you shouldn't have to deal with all this. It's unfortunate, but you were said the correct thing is they have to understand. The CEOs are profit-driven. That's the whole point of them being appointed as CEO. They have a choice of either looking out for their consumers or for the company. And so unfortunately, that choice. So I remember when I talked to those girls, I would say, don't take it personally to the supervisor or the department head. Don't take this person, but don't you think you'd rather deal with a company that had integrity? And so at that time you had a list, and of course, I'm sure their names have changed. I've seen several changes all this time. They're still operating out there. And now I see them move into North America, Canada as well. They're expanding and everybody thinks it's fresh and new and this is what you should do. And I'm thinking, oh my God, here they go again. So I want to thank you for offering that advocacy to them. Is there anything else you think that they should know before we finish this portion and go on to the next?
I'll just use your case as an example. Every case is a tiny bit different, but the same.
Yes.
In your case, your mom was duped into getting two reverse mortgages. So what they assured her that, don't worry, it's not costing you anything. Well, the first one cost her $20,000 to $25,000 in fees to get it, plus what she borrowed. And then the second one cost her an additional $20,000 to $25,000 in fees, which was completely unnecessary. Never should you ever get two or three reverse mortgages, ever. So when that happened, the thing with, we have to realize that a reverse mortgage is increasing debt as we age. A forward mortgage is we're decreasing our debt and increasing our equity. So a reverse mortgage is the exact opposite. So now you're increasing your debt and you're adding on $25,000, $50,000, and it's compounded interest going up. So that's how you get to that big giant number that's shocking you at the end.
Yes.
All those fees and costs that you didn't have to worry about, Well, guess what? They have to be paid back.
Yes. She and their fees are not small. So they're added on monthly or however that company will tend to do it. But she assumed just for her small amount of $25,000 or whatever it was, that $50,000 was all that they were going to get back. And I thought that would include all their fees and everything. I thought when I finally got to open the secret passcode message of what was due them, I was in shock. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And at that time, like I said, the houses were still underwater and under the market level. So if it wasn't for your astute knowledge and you're doing the research and going through the trenches for the rest of us or for myself, it wouldn't have come out very well. And so for the family that's living there, they love it. They worked very hard to get their home in this country. So I was very pleased for them. It was left beautiful as she used to have it before her husband passed. And so then I had completed what she had honored what her wishes were. But without your help, Sandy, it wouldn't have been possible. So I greatly still let you know that you are greatly appreciated for the work that you've done and all the hits you've taken and all the knowledge you've gained for the benefit of all of us. To show you that thanks, I would like to offer my services as a professional psychic. And there's one thing I want to recognize, there's a big difference between a storefront gypsy and a professional psychic. I've been psychic since childhood, and I came from an academic-based family, so literally this wasn't discussed, but I took every book and study and course and certification to make sure that I maintain an academic with a spiritual focus always underlying and underneath. So my clients have done over 50,000 readings in my career. Yes, that's a small number. I stopped counting in 2003. They're celebrities, doctors, lawyers. They stay clients for many years because of the level of accuracy. And I have a high referral rate. In my ability, I actually hear and see the person's guide / guardian angel. Used to freak me out at first, but I'm a hard, fast skeptic. I kept demanding proof years and years ago before it was trendy or even popular. But this is nice. I can study this and read. And I used to read a book a week. Now it's 5 at a time. But the point is, I want to prove, and when it began to happen, I recognized through work, through meditation, through study, through understanding and awareness spiritually, that continues to increase, that literally they are always around us 24/7 to give us information on everything in our life. But, you know, we use 2% of our brain and we think we know everything. So ultimately, I hear and see. And so I'll ask you to do a mini reading on the air. A real reading is 1 hour long. We can't do that on the air. But ultimately, something that's important to you, a specific question, they'll tell you the answer to it, Sandy, and all about how it affects, what effects it will have. And as always, you have free will to apply the information or not. But that's my gift of giving your extension of time and knowledge today for my audience. So today, your question for me would be?
My question for you is, and thank you for that, is my heart is hurting. My heart hurts a lot. And I wonder and I pray when and if, how soon are we going to be able to return to a country of compassion and love?
Oh, beautiful. Okay. I would like you to put a time frame on that, please. Whether you want it between now and the end of life for you, or between now and the next 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, 30, decade, what time frame would you like?
I'm in a hurry. I'm going to say years.
Okay. Now I want you to focus on your mind about, and let's stay this time frame though. So I know you're in a hurry. Life happens while we're making plans, as we know. But what they tell us is literally, don't tell God how to answer our prayers. So divine timing, I always trust in divine timing. So ultimately, let's focus on what you would like to see, a time frame between now and the next decade. What would you like? Between now and the next 20 years, 30 years, 5, 10, what would you like to see? The end of the century, what would you like?
I would really like the transformation to begin now.
Okay.
And grow over however long it takes to return this country to one of where people's hearts aren't hurting like mine. I'm not the only one.
Yes.
And where we can have love and compassion for one another.
Yes. Let's ask that between now and the next 10 to 20 years, if you would. Let's, in your mind, do so, and I want you to feel what you'd like to see that world in your heart chakra, literally to think in your heart how good that would feel to you as I shuffle as a third point of confirmation as well. And I will ask you to, in your mind, non-verbally, ask it to God and the divine universe in your own way, with love and respect always. Will we see this divine change between now and the next 5 to 10 years? And please say stop shuffling whenever your heart says stop, please.
Stop.
1 second, please. Alrighty. So ultimately, I'm going to lay them out as a third point of reference or confirmation. I think it's a brilliant question because, again, you are rare because 70% of the world population, unfortunately, has been programmed to think about themselves. And what happens is you are those rare folks. Of the rest, I'm going to say the 20% above that still think, and not exactly above, but differently, about the benefit of the whole, which is why we're supposed to be going through this. And on the pathway you're headed, I'm shocked. Between now and the next 5 to 10 years, they said already in process. They said tearing down the old to make way for the new. Those are exact words I just heard, goosebumps as I'm talking about it. Someone taught me that those are truth bumps. It's called friction in scientific language. But what ends up happening is, not only is it, yes, it's so amazing because you're asking the divine universe to please rain on these people to see, to be more aware, to care. And weren't we taught by the masters, and that's in any religion, to think of one another, to care for thy neighbor as thyself, to love one another, to have tolerance. And those we have forgotten. We glorify the religion instead of the terms that they were discussing. That's been the problem. And so it shows me here on the pathway headed, on the pathway you're headed, you're trying to ask the world that they balance mind and body and soul. And you're hoping that more others don't have to lose their homes, their way, their direction before this heart can heal, they said. You said something very interesting, the heart hurt. And on the human plane, as a metaphysical spiritual teacher also for over 40 years, we know that humans are undeveloped in their heart chakra area. And that's the area we have to learn. We're supposed to learn to think with the heart and to feel with the mind, just the opposite of the way we're taught. And so ultimately it shows on the pathway headed, there are two gentlemen that will be guiding people forward coming up in that 5 to 10 year period. They said, but watch to be discerning about who it is. Some will perceive that this one isn't, and it is. So let your heart be the determiner. Someone that is loving and caring, and his assistant by him that is also hardworking, a little bit younger. There's also a female herald that you'll hear or talk about or talk to between in the last 3 weeks or the next 3 months, I hear them say, that will give you offset or information about this, so all will continue to be divinely guided. Remember, it's those of us that are aware. The trick is we promise to inspire, because no one really listens, inspire them to do the same. So we have this consensus on the planet. Only in this place do we still have the haves and the have-nots, or the lack of compassion. It shows me the best card in the deck is literally the universe of the world. And it's showing me it's not next week, Sandy. Sorry. But it is coming. It's in process. They said it is to come. When it comes, they said it will be rapidly. And then they said on the heels, whoa, that's interesting. Goosebumps again. On the heels, like a big revelry, you'll hear. But remember that it's after the old is torn down, torn away. It does show me they see you as strong, confident, or a female that has Libra strong in her birth chart, her sun or her moon or her rising, is a positive flow toward this as well. But on the pathway you're headed, you ask between now and the next 5 to 10 years. And the answer, I'm happy to say, is yes. I want to thank you for being part of the show today, Sandy. And let's see all of us do that through the changes. Rome was wonderful at once and it wasn't. So we all have to go through cycles of life that are necessary for our greater evolution. I want to thank you today, wishing you and your family well for all you do. I will see you back in October to see how it changed. And I want to wish the audience all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
'cause I'm moving.